WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. It's our 28th anniversary year. If you're hearing interviews here at AM 1570 with musicians and whatnot, it's just about leaning into that here on 28th anniversary. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Library. You're at Coco's. There's a whole scene. Look at all these crab cakes coming through here, Dave Shining. All brought to you by our friends at GBMC. No French fries for me. I'm trying to be a little healthier.
Nice.
I'm getting a little more. I'm feeling myself right now here as we get to the end of summer. Also, our friends at Farnan and Dorman who are always putting the fire out for me for plumbing and HVAC and all of that, although it's been very, very temperate. My thanks to them. Zach was with us last week. We were Fishmonger's Daughter over in Catonsville. We're here in beautiful Lauraville and Coco's. I get to bring my East Side Goons out, my Butcher's Hill. You call it Lower Fells, Upper Fells. What do you say? Upper Fells, what do you call it?
I
call
it Butcher's Hill. I'm in Butcher's Hill.
Yeah.
Previous to that, I lived in Upper Fells.
Where does that stop?
Upper Fells stops at Pratt. Anything below Pratt between Patterson Park and
Baltimore?
Like Ann or Broadway, I think would be Upper Fells.
Okay. And where does Butcher's Hill stop? Broadway?
Butcher's
not Broadway. That Baltimore Street I'm talking about. Baltimore Street.
Yeah, Fayette.
Fayette, okay.
Between right. Fayette and Pratt, and between Patterson Park and Ann, I want to say.
Do you claim the Pagoda as Butcher's Hill? It's on the Butcher's Hill side.
It's, yeah.
Very much
it's,
so.
It certainly is like our beacon.
If I cross the street there, it's Butcher's Hill.
It's not, no.
No.
If you cross over Patterson Park, no, then it's Patterson Park. Well,
if I leave Patterson Park and go westbound and cross the street, that is Butcher's Hill.
Yeah.
Butcher's Hill is the neighborhood that abuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I would say it's visible from Butcher's Hill.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean.
And we claim it. We claim it.
Well, I claim you as like a total Baltimorean of Georgia. We've been through this in your old stories in baseball and Olympics and your music pursuits and all that. But, like, Washington Post will be the story of most of your life, and you set out. They gave me a reinvention award, Baltimore Magazine. I've reinvented.
Yeah.
Like we're all going to have to do that at some point in our life. I mean, maybe you did that when you became an Olympic writer from being a baseball writer. I don't know. Maybe your music, your reinvention. We're always kind of like doing something new. You've been forced into a lane to do something new with your career and your Washington Post thing blowing up on you last year, but like, this has been probably a good time to talk to you about, like, change, right?
It is, you know, and I will tell you, a great, great man, one of the greatest men I've ever known in my life, a guy by the name of Dusty Baker, told me one time that you need to reinvent yourself every 10 years. And it's not a hard and fast rule. It doesn't have to be 10 years on the dot. But you need to reinvent yourself every decade to keep life fulfilling, interesting, and I've taken that to heart, honest to God. My music, when I got really serious about music, it was largely with Dusty's words in my head.
He's not a professional wrestler, Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Baker.
Dusty Baker. I said Dusty Rhodes. I'm sorry.
Dusty Baker, the manager.
Dusty Baker. I heard Dusty Rhodes. Go ahead, Dusty Baker.
I could have said
I don't
Dusty
know,
Rhodes,
but
I suppose,
maybe I'm out of my mind.
Dusty
okay.
Baker. Dusty Baker. And you know, it's great advice. And I believe you're someone who, maybe not because of those exact words, but you have that internal drive for reinvention every decade or so. You've done so many different things in your life. You were talking about your music criticism career. You've been a newspaper guy. You've been a radio guy. And now you're a radio guy who also promotes Baltimore. You know, you've reinvented yourself more than once. I like to think I have, too.
Yeah. So what? Give me the lowdown, man. Like, I mean, I haven't talked to you on the air, off the air. You were talking to Ron Cassidy forever, making new friends, which is one of the reasons he gave me that crazy award. Is like, he likes the guests on my show and hanging out and making new friends. You guys know of each other. You can set his books on
my nightstand.
Literally.
Yeah, I love his book. I mean, it's a perfect bedside book because it's low investment. If you go to bed, you're tired. You read one story. It's full of just great three-page stories that are just awesome. For like the last thing you read before you go to sleep.
We've got a trend to write that way, right? They're sort of long form. like a takeout store almost, like a magazine style, couple of pages. You know, you get to say more than you get to say in a newspaper article.
Or in a column, right? You know, 700 word column. No.
Tell a story. Tell a story.
Yeah. Give me 2,000 words on that.
So what's your new gig, dude? Like, fill me in here. Dave Shine, informer of the Washington Post, my dear friend.
Yeah.
Bon Vivant guitar player.
Well, that's hard. That's hard to hear, man. It's still hard for me.
Yeah, but
the Post laid off 300 people in February. I was one of them. They killed the entire sports department. And, you know, it was tragic. I've heard from a lot of friends. It felt like a death in the family. I mean, I was hearing from lots of long-lost friends and relatives and everything else. And
overwhelming.
It was a period of mourning, man.
I like mean, a funeral, but you didn't die. Yeah, everybody's calling in on you, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I moped around for a while. I
tried to make sure you weren't moping, man.
You did. You checked in on me multiple times.
Dude, I love my friends, man. That's
and to be honest, man, I came up with a theory during this whole ordeal that your true friends are the ones who check on you more than once. I heard from everybody, the layoff happened on February 4th. I heard from everybody under the sun from February 4th to the 11th, that first week. But the true friends are the ones who check back a month later when the phone call stopped and
I invited you to South America. Tell the whole story.
That is
come on,
true.
I did invite you to South America.
I mean,
I invited him.
I
said, what else
job,
are you
going
to do? Like, I mean, you got nothing else to do. Let's go see Machu Picchu.
Yeah. I mean, definitely I regret that in some ways. I needed to be smart with money, though, too, you know? So, I don't know, man.
You weren't going to eat the guinea pig with me in Machu Picchu, were you?
I don't know.
I didn't eat the guinea pig. Yeah. No, I didn't do that.
Man. But I saw your pictures. It looked amazing. But yeah, you know, I poked around for jobs for a few months, you know, and I.
But what is that? What is poking around for a job at this point in this industry?
It's hard, man.
And name the names. You, Maskey. I'm just thinking of people I know. I mean, it's just a. It was a glut of premium sports writers and sports media people.
It was the best sports department in the country. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Okay, you know, the Athletics certainly had the Post beat in breadth and numbers and quantity, but for the quality of the work day in and day out, the Washington Post, and that's not just me saying it as an insider. I heard that from so many people. I mean, yeah, the legacy of Boswell, Kornheiser, Wilbon, Sally Jenkins, Jerry Brewer, Ken Denlinger, Bill Gilday, who's a Baltimore guy.
Feinstein.
I mean, it just goes on and on. Barry Zwerluga, my colleague, Rick Mace, Adam Kilgore, myself. We were
Mason. I interviewed Cal Ripken over Siberia. You know this?
Yeah, right. I know that.
I mean, like
crazy. State
crazy. Yeah, man.
Yeah. You know, and we've all scattered, and it's kind of sad to see everybody. You know, Zwerluga, Kilgore are at the Athletic. Mace was kept on at the Post. To sort of spearhead sort of a sports as culture bent that they're going for. I'm not. Don't ask me.
At least Bezos gave some money. His wife gave some money.
Yes.
On the mortgage, so
yes.
At least we got that.
Yes. And I recently, in May, I latched on to an operation in D.C. called NOTUS. N-O-T-U-S. It's like a play on POTUS or SCOTUS. And it was founded about 2 years ago by a guy named Robert Albritton, who is a very wealthy guy who is a journalist. He also founded Politico a few years ago. So he has a deep background in journalism. His father was the owner and publisher of the Washington Star, which folded in the 80s, but was the number two paper to the Post for a long, long time.
You know why I love the Washington Star? Because they had the wrestling results in there on Sunday morning at the Capitol Center. When, like, Ken Patera.
Yeah.
I got the star.
Yeah. So
old school with the Washington.
That's right. So this is a real journalism operation. It's not a bauble. It's not like a plaything for a billionaire, a status symbol. Our owner is a journalist. And I love it. You know, it's a small operation. It's probably 150 in the newsroom or something like that. The Post at its peak was like 1,000. So it's about the size probably of the banner, you know, and it has that same, it has that scrappy upstart energy, which is really cool after being at the Post as long as I was. We didn't have that there. We didn't have scrappy upstart.
It was institutional until it was over.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And so it's kind of cool and refreshing to be part of something on the way up, you know, and people there are excited and...
What's the beat you got? What are you doing?
I'm like a general assignment sports reporter. We're very tightly DC focused. So, you know, the downside to living up here, I no longer have like a national gig where I can just jet off anywhere. I'm not going to cover an Olympics probably. I think I'm capped off now at 8. But I'm in DC a lot. Yesterday, I was at the Commanders practice in the morning. And then I went all the way around the Beltway to Nats Park in the afternoon, double dipped. You know, it was a long.
So
long
you day. Are immersed in Washington sports again.
Yeah, yeah.
Way more than you were.
Okay, yeah. Because right, sure. I had a national focus at the time.
Give me a little state of Washington sports. I feel it's very far away.
No,
the state of Baltimore sports for me, and you living here, is where the Ravens are. With becoming this not local franchise anymore at
yeah.
all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone feels that, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and the
yeah.
from the arrest and Justin Tucker to the way they conduct themselves to the way that they throw the guy out who has the local radio station. Just insane things that they've done. And then the baseball team's on the second bad ownership.
Yeah.
And I read in I had Belson on, speaking of real reporters, Ken Belson
yeah.
on, wrote a book on the NFL, and I'm literally reading his book right now. And I just read a thing about the next group of owners coming. It was about Dan Snyder. You would have really, it was literally about Dan Snyder, about the next group's always worse. The next owner's always worse. Somehow. Like there was a quote in there from someone that Belson quoted 30 years ago saying the next generation's always worse. This was about Snyder. And that was then, 30 years ago now, right? I would say for Rubenstein, the waiting part here, but in D.C., it feels like they just got new ownership with the one thing. Leone just isn't going anywhere, right? And the Nats feel like for sale, not for sale. Like, the state of Washington sports doesn't feel like great people. Financially booted.
I'm going to make, I don't know about the finances and like I don't even care about the finances.
Does it feel vibrant?
I care about the store. Oh, it's vibrant. Okay,
yes.
Let me just run through it. I mean, just let's just start with the Mystics because they're like of the moment. They're in sixth place in the WNBA. They clinched a playoff spot. They've got their best team since 2019 when they won the WNBA title. They've got the youngest roster in the league, the second youngest roster in the history of the league. So they are absolutely an absolute juggernaut. They may not win it all this year, but they are a title contender next year and the year again. That's
it's amazing to start there.
Just start,
that's
yeah,
the lead.
I mean,
the WNBA is the lead. I left that out.
And that's just, you know, that's partly because like I've been writing about them a little bit this summer since I started it. Notice. The Nats, okay, you know, they were sellers at the deadline. It was probably the smart move to make. They revamped their entire front office. They went from probably the 30th most analytics-driven franchise to one of the top five or six. They modernized. They've got young GM, young manager. They have the sixth best farm system in the majors now, according to MLB Pipeline. That's up from 23rd. At the same time last year, so they moved up 17 places in 1 year. They're not going anywhere this year. They may not go anywhere next year, but they are also very much on the rise.
We'll get back to that.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
The Wizards just had the number one overall draft pick. They have a young core. Again, they're probably not contenders this year, but they're on the way up in a big way. The Capitals just brought back Alex Ovechkin, of course. They made massive trades this offseason to beef up their forwards. They're going to be they have a contending roster.
Well, that's
title contending roster.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Commanders. Now, you know, this has been a really rough camp for them, and I don't think anybody's really happy with what they've seen on the field. They are, as we speak, they're going through a scrimmage with the Ravens. I've been following along on X, and it's not going well for the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is getting crushed back there. They've lost two starting offensive linemen already. One of them, Laremy Tunsil, for the year. It's been bad. But aside from that, you know, anything is an improvement since the Snyder era. And that franchise as well, I think, is on the right track. Injuries happen. They're going to have to figure it out. But Jaden Daniels is you know, a top six, top eight quarterback in the NFL when he's healthy.
Well, you wrote the RG3 book back in the day.
And it's a similar type of dynamic. If you keep him healthy, he's going to be
amazing. Well, the Lamar thing would be along that line.
Lamar is similar.
Of what you wrote about RG3 at that tender moment when the Haloti Nada thing happened that I was down there.
Yes.
You know, this is kind of like bringing it to Baltimore and where we are. The Lamar thing, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Had a lot of success here. But you bring a new coach in now, and all of a sudden, they win one playoff game and get skunked in Buffalo as receivers are here waiting to get in. Sig, you coming in? Get in here. So, but for the Ravens, they have no margin for error for Minter in regard to what the fan expectations were doing. Yeah, we're doing our podcast reload. I'm still doing it. Yes. No, it's Baltimore positive. We're right here. It's all good. Did you win the lottery? No, she didn't win. Have a seat there, Sig. Yeah. So anyway, the Ravens situation for me is very tough for a new head coach to come in. It's been 18 years. They have a really easy early schedule, the Ravens.
Yeah.
Like, this should be 4-1, 5-1, 6-2, feeling good about that. You know what I mean? And I don't know what Washington's going through, but I'm looking at this and saying, that'll be same old, around. If they're 8-2, it'll be, hey, wake me in January, because that's the way people treat the ball.
Yeah. Well, and that is a tough spot for a head coach, right? The expectation is you know, Super Bowl or bust, or, you know. And we've gotten spoiled in Baltimore in that every year the Ravens are a contender. I mean, you know, they may not win in January. A lot of teams don't win in January. It's hard to win a championship. We sat here one time
a
year ago, and you asked me who's closer to the championship.
It was 3 years
ago. And I said neither, right? Who's more likely to win?
I said the Orioles.
I said neither. It's freaking hard to win a championship. And so, yeah. Jesse Minter's in a tough spot. Like,
yes,
you're expected to win because of this roster, but it's hard to win. As the John Harbaugh era.
Sean Payton's hero out in Denver. We got him, like, decent again, right? Like, Vrabel until he was, you know, screwing around with Diane.
So,
like,
you have an easier job if you're taking over a disaster.
I don't know if this was a disaster, though.
No, it's not. That's why I'm saying it's a much harder job coming into a situation like this than it is coming into a disastrous situation where just turning it around and getting to the playoffs is like, oh, my God, euphoria, you know?
Well, Sig is here. Mike Rusignano, one of my dearest friends. I'm going to back up just a little bit here, get you guys in a shot, get it all right. It's all brought to my friends at Maryland Lottery. I have Raven Scratch-Off. We're at Coco's. When we're at Coco's, we're basically in Sig's neighborhood. So, you know, I get to come out. And you're back. How you doing, man?
You doing great.
Grandkids, kids, more kids.
Oh,
New York,
kids.
All over the place. Upstate, downstate.
Are you done with the kids?
Well, it's like the grands.
Yeah, with the grands.
2 5-year-olds that have grands.
Oh, my God.
So I did a piece last week with this very pretty young lady who's singing the national anthem. She told me how she got hit by a truck. And I did 20 minutes with her, and she did the national anthem first. It was her dream when she got back on her feet. She's a public speaker, Rachel Druckenmiller. And I had her on for all this time. I get done. And then we got to talking, like, they grew up with her 6 kids and stuff. She didn't know your kids made me nasty. Now, she didn't know any of this stuff.
But I was there for her anthem. I went out for the game.
I saw a picture of you.
I was out there.
Music makes the world go round, doesn't it?
You did a fantastic job.
So, I mean, it's small.
I was nervous for her, but I shouldn't have been. She was cool and calm and just killed it, you know. So, I couldn't.
Well, you've been pimping the Washington sports thing.
You know,
you live here in Baltimore. Do you have anything you want to say about the Orioles? What is this?
This is our name.
Arcadia. I was trying to see what it said. Arcadia.
That's a cool shirt.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Love it. The Orioles. I don't know, man. I think it's not working, you know? Whatever it is they're doing, it's not working. We're many years in to the Elias era. I don't know, man.
To me,
nobody's getting better.
About ownership.
People aren't getting
better. Because the owners are the ones who are going to decide. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they're hiding now. He's down in D.C. doing these symposiums, thinking he's going to get away with calling it embarrassing. And like these things that he said, I'm sort of blown away that these guys have put $2 billion at this, and they don't feel like serious people anymore. They feel like they're their check writers, and that's cool. But they think that's what this job was going to be. They need to write better checks to better people. I can confirm that.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Pete Alonso signing is great. Worked out. Give me some pitching. You know, right? Let's open it up and get some pitching.
They signed Bradish. They signed Boz. They signed Alonso. And Luke and I talk about this all the time. The reason that they have sputtered is Gunnar Henderson. They hasn't been any good. All the young players. Just take Kowser.
Nobody's getting
Westberg.
Better. Nobody's improved. Nobody's on a trajectory.
No one's emerged.
Right.
And Rutschman is, you could say this, he failed. I mean, a couple time All-Star, whatever, but he failed
that
to
That was
root
a failure, yes. That was a failure of the organization to not build around that guy.
They spent 6 months in last place to get that guy, right?
Yeah.
And they paired him on Bobby Witt.
That's right. Right.
I mean, I could blame him at the time.
At the time, it seemed smart.
Retroactively.
College catcher, switch hitter, you know, versus a high school shortstop, you know. I can't blame him, except in hindsight.
Right.
But at the time, I was 100% on board with the pick. And I think everybody was.
Well, I mean, it was sort of a Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf thing where, like, everybody was taking Peyton Manning, kind of, sort of, right? And especially in retrospect. I mean,
retrospect.
Wow, right.
Yeah.
Dave Shine is here. Rasig is here. We're at GoCo's doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. But for the Orioles and for the sport itself, and this is where the grind down happens for me. Right now, as we're sitting here at GoCo's, you're going to play a couple games in St. Louis. They're going to play in Sacramento in front of nobody. They're going to play next week in Colorado in front of somebody but nobody. These are the, like, they can will themselves back into an incredible position by the time people hear this or by the time they get home next week again. And the pennant race stinks. But the falling out of all of this is the minute the season ends, we go back to war again. And all the old guys, especially the journalists like you that have covered it, me who's been on the radio back 35 years now, I was there for every one of these work stoppages, for all the awfulness in 94 going into 95 and the World Series being canceled. We're going to go back into that area again. And this franchise and this city and them selling tickets in this market at this time, it's really problematic for me, seeing how empty the stadium is and being a guy here who engages in it. And I can find old white guys like us that like it or whatever, but just for what it should be, what it should mean for the community, how to bring people together, I'm not getting it right now, and I don't know if these new owners get it. And that really concerns me because I had high hopes that whoever the next owner would be would at least get it. You know, just get it. You don't have to win. Just winning's hard, but just get it. And I don't think they did. That's how I feel.
What, did you guys already talk about the trade, the Russian trade?
No.
Because I was curious about the trade on that, the way that trade worked down. Just because we talked about pitching and they got it.
Yeah, no. I have no problem with the trade. I mean, I'm shocked that they made that kind of trade in the division. I mean, when's the last time they did something like that? This franchise made a massive trade like that in the division. It probably was,
yeah.
Right? So I was surprised by that. I liked the return they got back, but of course, we're not going to know for half a decade if it was a good trade.
Who's got rid of Dean Kramer? He was the remnant of Manny Machado, right?
Right. But like by the rules of attrition in baseball, if you get six pitchers, two of them are going to blow out, Sure. Two of them are going to be okay, and two of them are probably going to be great, you know? So we just don't know. It's way too early to say whether it was a good trade or bad trade.
Right,
on the paper, it looked great.
Right, and the reality of it is, for Oriole fans, you know, they're not gaining any of that for this season.
Exactly.
They're not moving forward and trying to win this season.
That is right.
Seemingly.
So
There was a lot of
I think there's a lot of things about them in selling tickets. I talk about it all the time. And, you know, Luke and I, 98% of our conversations on the field, you know, it's seen in that way. I still continue to see it as this business that when I go down there and see a game, I'm like, how are they affording Pete Alonso? Where is this money coming from? Where are the cable pullouts coming from? Where are the subscribers? Oh, it's Friday night. Last Friday night, I got off the yoga mat at 7:15. I got in the car. I'm listening to Hollander. He had this huge call of a home run. I tweeted it. I got home, and I realized the game was on Apple TV, and I ain't got no apples.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Like,
well,
so
that's not unique to Baltimore.
Actually, I want to watch.
Yeah.
And they're not letting me even watch it or making the bar so high on Friday night independent race where I just say, no, thank you. And it's been very easy for me to say no thank you to baseball since they've said no thank you to me in a general sense.
Yeah.
I just didn't think the new owners would be saying no thank you, not just to me, but to good sensibilities. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see any signs in regard to – because, look, we're baseball nerds, and it looks the same thing. Elias. I don't know about Elias. I don't know about these baseball decisions. Who's the guy making the decision and the guy making the baseball decisions? And that's not Angelos anymore. It's Rubenstein and Arrighetti. And this is going to be on their – and I don't know that they're capable of making a good decision. I haven't seen any signs that these guys have the feel for running a baseball team or they want to. And certainly not – and this is big picture for you, Dave Shine, baseball historian – during wartime, because we're about to go to wartime, and you know what that looks like.
Yeah.
That looks like the fans getting two middle fingers from everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it would be tragic at this point for baseball to screw up 2027. I don't mean even like losing the whole season, which of course you. I mean, just don't lose 2 months of the season. Don't push opening day to June. Don't screw this up. They have a great thing.
Screw in Sarasota and all these towns are in business
with spring
training. They're in business with Arizona.
Absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I've looked at this a million ways. I've covered three or four labor wars in MLB. I've staked out owners and Don Fear.
You've been that guy at the bottom
Park
of the elevator?
Avenue.
Oh,
yes.
You've been that
guy. I've been that guy. And this one, it looks about as bad as any of them. I did not cover 94, 95.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
It doesn't quite look that bad, but it is the same rhetoric you're hearing. It's the same kind of hardline stances. MLB looks hell-bent on getting a salary cap this time.
Breaking the union.
And if that's the case, this is going to get ugly. To me, you know, one interesting thing that I've seen written a lot during this thing. Your view of the state of the game rests entirely on whether you believe it is more important to make the playoffs or win the World Series. And I'll explain that. Baseball doesn't have a parity. Baseball has great parity right now if you talk about being able to make the postseason. The Tampa Bay Rays are a perennial
and they're going to lower the bar even further for the loop. I mean, a team can get in the playoffs winning 79 games this year, right? Easily.
Well, yeah, exactly. With the extra wild cards. You know, the Cleveland Guardians are always in the playoff hunt. You know, the Baltimore Orioles have been in the playoffs in the last decade, right? 2016.
No, 3 years ago they were in.
Well, okay, right. And then, right. So twice in the last decade, right? So teams can get to the playoffs. It's easy. Winning the World Series has become hard, and that never used to be the case. I mean, we are only a decade and change removed from the Kansas City Royals winning a World Series. The Tampa Bay Rays.
That's a Rob Manfred talking point as to how we know the difference between the Hawks and the Dubs in 1994. I don't know where Rubenstein is on this. Because in 1994, Peter
wanted
to play.
We knew where Peter was.
Peter was. But Peter also had a full stadium with 3.5 million tickets sold, and every business in the area wanted to give him money. The Pittsburgh Pirates and the San Diego Padres were not dealing with that at that moment. I mean, the Yankees weren't dealing with that at that moment, honestly, before a new stadium came online. So for me, I think the economics have changed where, like, stadiums were going to save the game, club levels were going to save the game, media and TV was going to save the game. I haven't seen an idea yet where they're going to sell the Oriole fans and Rusick and his wife are going to give them $20 a month, and you're going to give them $20 a month, 6 months a year, and we're going to maybe go to the games, but it's really expensive when we do. Where's the revenue model? Like, I'm going back to, I haven't met the person that's telling me where all this money's coming from, but they will tell me we're willing to fight over the money and how we're going to fight. And the fight, to your point, has to be Dodgers and Yankees are just bringing that money in, they're going to keep it, and the little guys are going to stay little. And the players have no problem with that system.
Well, but you're also forgetting that, like, do you believe what Billy Bean always said, right? The postseason's a crapshoot.
Sure.
All you got to do is get there, and then anything can happen. Well, at a certain time, that was sort of proven to be, that was believable. Why has that changed? Has it changed, or has it just been a fluke of the last few years?
Well, the Dodgers had 9 starting pitchers on their roster. Most teams, the Orioles have had 3 or 4 most of the year, maybe, at any given point. Major league starters. I'm not talking about Cade Povich or guys, even Brandon Young, who they didn't want to have. I'm talking about guys that you want in the front of your rotation. Like, they have so much more money.
But like,
it's an unfair fight.
But before the Dodgers, it was the Yankees, right? And then the Yankees went from 2003 to whatever and not making the World Series, right? Even though they had the highest payroll in the game almost every single year. So I'm just saying, like, the Dodgers maybe are a juggernaut. They may also be a fluke. We may not see another franchise like the Dodgers. But all I'm saying is that before the Dodgers, the Yankees had the highest payroll in the game most years, and they went a decade and a half or whatever it was without making the World Series. So I don't know that you can say that the economics of the game are broken, even though, yeah, the Dodgers are winning. They won a lot of World Series. They have an advantage. But the teams have had that same advantage for decades in Major League Baseball, and we've never had this feeling that, oh, it's inevitable that you can't win anymore.
But those few teams like the Dodgers, they just invest in winning the World Series. Now, they know they're going to make
they
the playoffs, so
right.
That's to your point.
They
just invest in whatever it needs to be in the World Series.
You're right.
So
they gave up
a few good prospects.
But I've seen enough baseball to know that the postseason is a crapshoot. So, especially, you know, in a 5-game series, anything can happen.
Well, look at how the Orioles have played Tampa in the last 2 weeks. That if they got into a cage match with Tampa, that they could win a couple, 3 out of 4.
Absolutely. I'm just saying that, man, it looks right now like money buys you the World Series. That's a new concept. That has never been true in baseball. And you know, just look at the Yankees. That's all I'm saying.
Dave Scheinman is here, longtime Washington Post reporter now with Notus. N-O-T-U-S.
That's right.
N-O-T-U-S, like POTUS. Rusick is here. He is Rusick. Yeah, I don't know.
The legend.
POTUS.
Legendary. Yeah.
That's what he said.
I know. It is. That's how it's spelled. N-O-T-U-S.
So you'll appreciate this. I get Rusick. We're here at Coco's. Obviously, all the brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. Have Raven scratch-offs. Also, GBMC and Farnan and Dermer sending us out. I'm celebrating my 28th anniversary right now. I did 25 crab cakes. I did 26 oysters. For 27, I did tastings, which are my favorite things to eat. By the way, I got my final peach cake of the season today. I got 2 of them in the car because tomorrow's the last day. Peaches have been tough this year. So, you know, my favorite things to eat. This year I'm doing music in my music memory. So if you're listening on AM 1570 this week, you hear some rock and roll. I've got Gil Moore checking in on Thursday. I got Rick Emmett from Triumph on Friday for the concert. They're coming back to Baltimore. I saw Rush this week. So it's been a big music week here. Dave's, your album's still available, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Spotify, Apple Music.
Tell me about your album.
Yeah, well, there's 2 of them. There's the first one's called First Thing Tomorrow. It came out in, I want to say, 2018. The second one, The Measure of Things, came out in 2022, I believe. Yeah, they're anywhere.
You've been tickling the ivories playing again?
A little bit, you know.
you were gainfully unemployed for the month. At first, he got put at the post, and I said, dude, come to South America, man. We'll work it out. You know what I mean? That's what a real friend does.
It was.
I thought he would seriously consider it because I figured, like, his wife and kids didn't want him around right now, and I think two weeks in South America, some ACDC, we'll get some mall back. Come on, man.
I was in a bad mental place, man.
I was trying to get you
which
back
is maybe
mental
the
place.
The reason to do it, but I was just I couldn't really think.
Dude,
of
3 days a month in a day, I'll fix you.
Oh, man. The pictures looked amazing. I gotta say,
it was good time.
I was having some FOMO.
So it goes. Kevin Washington Sports, we're seeing it. You're still artisting in cartoon. What are you doing?
When he wants to, he does it when he wants to.
Occasional artwork here and there. I just did some protest work.
Well, I was going to say, I hit him and I'm like, hey, Rasig, I'm going to be at Coco's, you know, Wednesday. He's like, that's protest day. What time you need me? And I'm like, I know his protest usually begins right around happy hour, right? When the cars honk and stuff
like that.
So you come out right here at the end, right at the end of the street.
Harford and Parkside.
Right here, two blocks away.
Two blocks away.
All right.
Yeah, today I'm not protesting. I'm kayaking today. But normally you protest.
Is this mental health kayaking?
No, it's just a long time.
It's still summer.
We can protest
in October, November.
But yeah, I
came out of my yoga studio last night.
Dave, if you feel inspired, come out and protest. We just sign wave and
I like
it. I have a feisty woman in my yoga class, like a little tiny firecracker woman. She came out, she's soaking wet. She was coming out of class and I was coming in, and her shirt said, "Is he dead yet?"
Just kidding,
of course. I thought he made a fair war on Florida before Rush could finish the game. I mean, what's next? You go pick on Sarah McLaughlin?
I got all my Canadian.
Alanis Morissette.
I got all my Canadian gear out yesterday.
You didn't see Canada before you were
from. I was just in Canada. I was at the beach in Canada. So I love Canada.
All right. Rasig is here. Dave Schein is here. Is there anything baseball oriented you want to say in regard? Because you're a baseball guy. We've gone through the labor, which is going to eat us all up, and the new ownership, and Pete Alonso, and Albernaz. I mean, there's really nothing. I don't know what to say that's good, like, in regard to if they get through the labor thing and they just play a normal season next year, how this franchise is going to get up, and to your point, they might make a playoffs, right? Like, literally, but how it's really going to excel in this market, in a real way. Where you love baseball, you love baseball, I love baseball. I have a couple of dollars to rub together. You do. People give me tickets. I offer you guys to go. Like, just to want to be there. To want to be there. And I will say this, and this is from my soul, having been thrown out and Luke being down there, this has really been a demarcation year for me to give these new people two middle fingers in a really serious way. And the reason for that is, if I love baseball, and even if I like baseball, the television product with the box now for the challenge, for somebody that really wants to watch the game. I don't care about the girls or the pom-poms or the bird or the crab bath or the bird bath. Okay, I like baseball. I want to see them win. I talk about the sport. Not the gambling, not who's winning bets, none of that. The standings are what I talk about. And the city, you know, the heart of what it is. I look at it and say that watching it at home for me, when I've gone to the games, and Wendy from Curio's giving me tickets, I'm taking you to see. I like being with you. I like being with John Allen. I like being with my buddies. But I see the game better at home, and I like it better at home. And when Ben's on, and Jim Palmer's on, it's really good at home.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a hard time getting me out there thinking I'm ever going to give them $15 for a beer, because I wouldn't even do that for Rush. Right, like the thinking that I'm this consumer, that I'm an ATM because I love baseball, my name's Aparicio, that's all over with. But in this new incarnation for me, I found that watching the game, even my wife came back from vacation, wanted to watch the game, because the game is enjoyable with the box.
It is.
The box lets you watch the game.
Absolutely, and the pitch clock saved the game for me.
100%.
Saved the game. I got to the point where I could not watch baseball anymore. I got off the baseball beat partly because of that. I hated the product. This is a great product right now on TV. I love watching baseball again. And yeah, it's all the pitching. The challenges in front.
Have you been to the ballpark? You've been to Nats games because you work.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally covered Washington sports for you.
Yeah.
So you go to Nats games, but like, where are they?
I don't believe I've
been for pleasure,
game
no,
and
you?
This year. Yeah.
4 or 5.
You've been 4 or 5.
Yes.
Okay. You saw Rachel Singh last week.
I saw Rachel Singh last week, and I got some gimme tickets earlier in the
when
year.
When people so offer me free tickets, and Wendy from Curio Wellness is, I love her. I mean, she throws me a text, I got 4 or 5, and they're right on the on-decks. I mean, they're unbelievable sets, right? I mean, if they're hot as hell, you go in a long day in the afternoon. And I mean, I love going out. I love going with you guys. We go to Fabian's. We stop there. We make a day of it. I get the bromance to be with my buddies. You know, have a, show them a good time on behalf of someone who's trying to show me a good time and be kind to me. But it is work. When she gives me 4 tickets, I got to send out 15. Like, literally.
Yeah.
I got to hit 15 people on short notice to get anybody to want to go. And then I go down there. It's empty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's empty. When I go, it's empty.
So,
and,
so is
that breaks my heart. I mean, that part of it makes it feel like it's less fun because it's empty. I did heckle that. I was such a jerk.
No way.
Shocking.
You know about this?
No.
I'm a little embarrassed. I'll tell you. All right. You know they make a lot of errors. I mean, you watch the order?
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. I mean, if there's any reason to fire Elias other than the failure itself, it's just the lack of any thought that defense matters. Like,
yeah,
they don't, it doesn't matter.
Architecturally.
Yeah, it just, I look at it and say, you just don't take this seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when you go into a place and their bathroom's dirty, in their restaurant, probably not a place I want to eat. You're upsetting, like, literally, right? And the bathrooms here at Coco's are impeccable always. But they are. But that is part of, like, it, right? Like, I see it as a deficiency to not take defense seriously. That's a... It's tough to tell me you're really going to win long-term playing the kind of defense that they played this year.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm there, and it's a third inning, and it's 150 degrees, and I've watched them make error after error after error. And it's third inning. It was the error that cost them the game. I mean, in the end, it was the 3-run inning. Brandon Young booted a ball off the mound at 1:05 in the afternoon, 12:35 stars, nobody in the stadium. And I'm in the fourth row, and I'm hot as hell. And, like, if I'm home, I'm frustrated with it, and I say something. I stood up. Poor John Allen, my rock star buddy's with me. And, I don't remember. Poole was with me. Somebody else I embarrassed with. It wasn't Chris Piker. I stood up, and I'm in Coco's right now, but I stood up, and I'm like, that's embarrassing. Embarrassing. Field your position. And then I Albernaz saw me in the dugout because I'm in the fourth row. I'm over the Mike Trout's head's cranked. He's on the deck. Mike Trout's looking at me. Pozo, the catcher, is like looking at me. Albernaz is looking at me. I swear to God, I looked at Albernaz. I'm like, extra infield, Albie. Extra infield. And then I gave one more. Every night. It's embarrassing. And I sat down, and I sat down, and it was like, as Ray Lewis once said, you can hear rat piss on top.
Ah, yes.
That's beautiful.
But I lost my mind.
Yeah.
And if I ever see Brandon Young, I'm going to apologize to him.
Yeah.
I mean, Luke says he's a good guy. But I was just,
I'm like,
I sit and watch this at home.
Yeah.
And it's just watching them kick the
You're
ball.
You're a fortunate as a fan, that's where you just happen to be in a really quiet stadium where you got front and center.
At least I didn't have a fan yell behind me. You're a media member, act like it. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
acting
right,
like
right.
it. You know. Dave Schein is here, and I love him to pieces. Notice is his website.
Right.
He didn't. Did you notice that he did not go to Machu Picchu with me?
Yeah, I know. And I have to go do a phone interview, to be honest with you.
Okay, bye.
So,
all right,
he's
got to go.
Yeah, I'm out.
I was about to ask him a really good question, too. I'm going to get
Save it for next
That's
time.
Fine. Hey, I love you. Get
Thanks,
your phone interview.
Save.
He's got important.
I'm by Zeke's on Friday.
I would love
you
to,
know,
man.
The best.
All right.
And we talk about
it. I'm going to take a break, and you and I'll come back, and we'll do Zeke's stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to catch up with you, all right?
Okay, great.
We got to catch up with democracy. Back for more. We're Coco. Stay with us.